Hi? That's what I brought with me today. I had to super glue it to my hand, though, so I wouldn't forget it, so... No, just kidding. Well, we had a fantastic feast. It's hard to have a bad feast in Hawaii, as I always say. We had a great time down there. Lots of beautiful sunshine, beaches, and fresh fruit every day. Fresh mangoes, papayas. Man, I just ate whole fruit. It was just amazing. So I want to welcome back the stragglers. Quite a few stragglers that have come back. Welcome, Leah and Elvie. Good to have you back. So coming up and over this next few months and this coming year, we're going to start some focused study and education into God's Word. So we've all met together as elders and deacons and as a church, and one of the things that we've discussed and decided is that we would like to very much focus and pick some topics to study, topics in God's Word, and to really delve into these and to just get deeply into God's Word. Some of these topics will be topics that the ministry, you know, has taken a look and said these are the things that we need to talk about. Some of the topics will come based on input. So some people have come and asked, you know, I don't understand this, or I'd like to understand that a lot better, or, you know, just different types of things, as well as we'll also like to get some input into this process today as well, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But let's just, for a couple of minutes, just dip into why is it important to study His Word. I know that sounds like an incredibly kind of a basic question, right? But it's actually not. It seems like it's an obvious question with an obvious answer. But I think once we start to dig into this, we'll see that there's actually a gravity towards this. There's something that's very important to understand. So let's start with this and understand why we need to actually dig into God's Word and to really get into His Word and into His Bible. Let's turn to 1 John 2. Start turning there. 1 John 2 and verse 3. Christ said in the New Testament in a number of different places, and you probably are familiar with this, He said, you know, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do the things which I say? He said that in different locations in the Bible. And where we'll read in 1 John, there's something that's very similar to this, but the concept of calling Christ Lord, Lord is very important to understand. Because what it is saying is that these people were saying, Christ, you are my Lord. Christ, you are my Savior. I look to you and I recognize that you are my God. And Christ was saying, how can you claim me as your Savior without you doing what I say? So it's not just saying, Lord, Lord, like, you know, hi, I know your name. It's saying, I claim you as my Savior and my Christ. Christ is saying something very important. He's saying that you cannot claim that unless you do the words that I say. And it's very important to understand, to do the words that He says, you have to understand them. So let's look at 1 John 2, verse 3. It says the same kind of a principle. Again, it says, now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, like he who says, Lord, Lord, is the same thing. I know you. I know who you are. I know you're the Savior. He who says that I know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So the truth of the Bible is not in that person. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And then by this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. Now, there's some very important things to understand about this, and the Bible is very, very plain and very clear on this. You do not know Him unless you keep His commandments. So a lot of people say that they know Christ, and a lot of the world says things like, I accept Christ as my Savior, but they do not know Him. They do not actually or could really say that He's my Savior. They cannot really say, Lord, Lord, unless they do what He says in His Bible. It also says here that the truth is not living in you unless you keep the commandments as well. Now, the concept that they say at the end of the scriptures in verse 6, it says, he who says he abides in Him ought to himself also walk just as He walked. A concept here is walking, right? Walking with someone. It's not just a basic understanding. It's not just saying that, you know, I can recite the Ten Commandments. I understand the holy days. I keep the Sabbath day and things like that. Walking has to do with really digging in and understanding how somebody, you know, thinks, how they lived, what words they used, you know, how they interacted with people. You know, you can think of that, you know, in a personal relationship. If you're walking with someone or you're kind of, you know, in friendship with someone and you want to walk with someone, you would have to, over time, get to know that person. Right, you would have to walk and see what they do during the day and how they say it and things like that. And that's the context of what he's saying here, is that we have to walk as he walked. It's not enough to recite the commandments. It's saying that that word has to actually live and breathe in you. You have to walk the way he walked. Otherwise, you will not know him. You will not know somebody else in this congregation if the only thing that you ever do with them is to know their name. You can understand their name. You can understand, you know, how old they are or where they live. That is not walking with someone. Walking with someone is standing beside them and understanding start to finish how they live their lives. You then, at the end of that walk over time, you can say, you know, I know you. I know you. I know what you're made of and what makes you tick. And Christ is saying that here. You will not know him unless you live and walk and do his commandments and walk in his way. Very important to understand. It's not just a memorization effort. Now, it's an over time thing as well. Now, the contrary to what I just said is also true. Because Christ said, you know, you call me Lord, Lord, but he says, I do not know you. The reverse is also true. If those who are not walking in his commandments, Christ will not recognize them. He will not know, he will not see himself being made in that person. He will say, I don't know you. I don't, you know what you're about because you're not walking in this way. I'm not familiar with you in that way. I am familiar with this certain way. So the contrary is also true. If you don't look like him in the behaviors that you do during the day and the week and everything, then he will not recognize himself inside of you. And he'll say, you know what? I don't know you. You call me Lord, Lord, but I do not know you. So it goes around in a circle. We cannot claim that if we're not doing the commandments. And he will not know us if we're not doing them either. So that's a very important understanding. We cannot claim Christ as our Savior unless we obey his words. And the concept, if you think about it for a few minutes, is that you really have to understand, like I said, you have to walk with Christ. And how do you do that today? How do you walk with him today? Because to get to know Christ is to get to know the word that he left. Christ is also called the Word. So why should we study the Word? Why should we study Christ? It's for this very reason, is that we must get to know him, that we must dig deeper. If we superficially just take a look at the Bible, you cannot claim that you know Christ. You have to walk with him. You have to look and you have to say that, well, what did Christ do in this example in my life that I'm going through right now? And I walk with him on a day-to-day basis. So it's not something that if we look at this, you know, you can't say, you know, I know the basic things of the Bible. You know, the complicated things are for the ministers, or, you know, those are for other people. They're not for me. You know, I'm just all about love. You know, I'm going to go to church and I'm just going to love because that's what Christ said. This is talking about, and I'll come back to another scripture that, you know, hits that head on. It's not enough to say that. And it's not enough either to be, you know, full of sin or not doing his commandments during the week, you know, getting all mixed up, going back to the same old things, and then saying, you know, I'm going to go to church because my brethren just, they accept me. You know, I'm just going to go there and they just accept me. Because it's not about us in trying to get acceptance for sin in the way it is. God is about repentance. God is about, when we do sin, repentance. And putting that away. God is not about us all just accepting a sin. Christ is saying that you have to walk day by day in this entire way. Otherwise, he'll say at the end of it, I didn't know you. I'm not familiar with you. I just am not familiar with you. And the same is, the reverse is also true as well. Now, what's also interesting in the scripture is there's a number of things there. It also says, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. That's an important concept to understand, because what I just said before, just saying, you know, I'm going to sin, but I'm just going to go get acceptance and love, that is a false statement. It says here that the love of God is only perfected in keeping his commandments. There is no other way around it. There is no way to say that I'm sinning, yet I'm going to go and, you know, accept other people and feel love. That is a false statement, not true. the love of God is perfected in the keeping of His commandments. That's in ourselves and in with each other and around. You know, acceptance is an important thing, but there's just on a human level a certain amount of acceptance. God's love is way deeper than that, and that is something that we must attain, is God's love, not just a kind of an acceptance. I just, you know, I accept just as it is. God's love goes deeper than that. God's love says that He called us not to stay in that sin, but He called us in love to come out of that sin, to not stay there, not stay trapped and in bondage and just stuck. And let's accept you stuck. God says, I want to pull you out of that. I want you to live and thrive and be something. And that requires you getting out of that sin. So God is saying here that His love cannot be perfected if you're not trying or not keeping that law or that way. It's exactly what it's saying. The love of God is perfected by the keeping of His commandments. Now, very important to understand. You know, we always say that, you know, well, you know, I'm just coming here, I'll be accepted, I'm a wretched person. We are all wretched people. We all sin, we all have the faults. We have all of that. But in order for God's love to be perfected in us and us out to others and others to us, it all has to do with commandment keeping and keeping His law. Now, so we have to understand that there is an important thing, to know God and to call Him Lord, Lord. You cannot call Him your Savior. Truly, not fly. Christ one day, if you're not doing what He says, it will not fly. He'll say, I don't recognize you. And you cannot truly call Him that unless you keep His command. So we have to get into the command, the word, and understand the nuances of how Christ lived, what He said to do about situations, what to feel about situations. What do we do with our emotions? What do we do with our anger? What do we do with our sadness? What do we do in all these circumstances? We need to get into the word to understand and to dig those things out and to walk in the way that He walked. Because there is a way that is of strength, that is of His way, that is of love perfected, that is of what we are to walk down, the path we're to walk down. Let's also turn over to 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, because there's another aspect of this whole digging into God's Word that we will start and embark on. And this is really a charge that's given to God's ministry, that what the ministry is supposed to do. And there is a responsibility that every single minister and elder has in this room to you, that being ordained is not a position of, you know, now I've arrived or a power. There is a responsibility that God says that I've called you to and that you're responsible for. And if you and any minister abdicates that, that is serious on that minister. Therefore, each of the ministers and elders in this room has to read these words and be exhorted by them and to hear what they say and to put that into the practice. And 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 says this. It says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be the judge of the living and the dead, is appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. So one of the things in this whole process, too, is that the ministry that you have around you will be putting effort into rightly dividing the word of truth, to really to dig into that and to fulfill what God said here. God gives reasons why that the ministry is to preach, and it says, basically, you are to convince. So there's different aspects of what, you know, different types of preaching that will happen. There's convincing, right? Let me show you, let me convince you from this set of evidence in the Bible that this is correct and true or the right way or the right doctrine. There's also rebuking. At times, there's times where things need to be said. This is a subject that needs to be said, or that's a subject. There is a rebuking aspect that will come at times as well. And exhorting, you know, saying, stirring people on, exhorting from the word, getting inside of the problems and exhorting how to move past that, you know, giving a way to inspire or for growth or for improvement. The word is all of those aspects, and you can't separate all of those. If you say, you know what, the minister's correcting me, I'm not going to listen, the others won't make sense to you either. You cannot not listen to one of those aspects. You have to listen to the convincing, the rebuking, and the exhorting. All of those things have to go together. And so at times during the year, you'll see that. Now, it also says it'll be done with all long-suffering and teaching. And there is a mentality and attitude that goes along with the ministry that is not one of that I'm just coming to, you know, anytime somebody does something, I'm just going to beat you over the head. It is to convince, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and with teaching, and to do that over time, and to really teach and to nurture, and that's the kind of relationship that it's supposed to be. So these words go out to the ministry in the Bible, and that is what our ministers will be doing here, is to really to dig and to divide the word of truth and to get into that so that they may teach, rebuke, exhort, convince you as we go. And over time, this will take place. So as a homework assignment as well for any ministers or elders in the room as well, if you would please read 2 Timothy 2:14 and 3:14 sometime today as well, because Paul continues on and exhorts Timothy in other ways and says other aspects of preaching to the congregation as well. So what are some of the significant things? Let's look at one more reason, or one more set of scriptures of why we're digging into this. Now, as I started to get into this, the topic is so large and so huge that, you know, it itself bears maybe a sermon someday as well, because it is such a vitally important topic. Let me give you some basic principles to start with today. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And there's a very, very important set of scriptures here that explain the how and the why. Explain why and what happens if you do not do the word or understand the word, what will happen to you, what will take place, and why that will take place. And it's very, very clear what he says here. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. It says, and then when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now, a lot of people say, oh, you know, that's already taken place in the church. The lawless one came, you know, corrupted the truth and things like that. But if you read this very carefully, it's after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. There will be supernatural events and things that are taking place with this, the lawless one that's described here. So yes, you could say that, you know, in some sense that has happened, but no, it has not really happened yet, because what will happen here is something that is yet future, that takes place with signs and wonders, things that are so amazing when you see them and hear them that people will say, wow, that's incredible, those type of a thing. And that's all of the working of Satan, as it says here. So there is some future thing that will happen here, and it says in verse 10, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they may be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So this is saying quite a number of things here. This is saying, one, that we have to develop a love of the truth. You have to develop something that's called a love of the truth, something that's very active, something that's very actionable. It's not something that's fixed in time, right? It's not something like, okay, I've learned this. When you just say, I've learned something, and you stop, that couldn't be labeled as a love. Think of something you love. Think of a passion, of a hobby, or something you just love, something that you just get into. You eat, drink, sleep, you breathe that. You want to hold it. You want to, you know, hug it. You want to find out more about it. You want to eat it, drink it, sleep it. It's something you love. That's the concept of the love of the truth. It's not that you've memorized it and you've arrived. There's a love and a passion that continues to go on with there. Now, what happens if you don't? The scripture says there that those who do not receive the love of the truth will succumb to deception. In other words, what happens is that in your heart, you may can sit there and not really have a love of the truth. But God says, I will reveal what's in the hearts. I will send a strong delusion so that those who are not really have a love for the truth will be tilted one way or the other. In other words, what's coming down the pike in the future will reveal what's actually in our hearts. Do you really love the truth or not? So you can sit here day by day, no problem. You can go here week by week, but one day when these events happen, it'll be such a strong delusion that if there is not a firm love in our hearts of the truth, that there will be, that you will be swept away with that, is what it says. God says he'll do that on purpose. He'll send a strong delusion so that they may understand, so that the people who do not love the truth will continue to believe the lie. Now, there's some other things that happen in here as well. At the end of that verse, in verse 12, it says, but they also may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's another very important aspect there, pleasure in unrighteousness, which has to deal with, are we making daily choices and are we dealing with the sin in our lives? Or are there things that we just continue to take pleasure in? Because those are at odds with the truth. Again, it comes full circle with that, if you call me Lord, Lord, or he who says he knows me must do his commandments. We must be dealing or taking care of the sin that's in our lives. It's a process, yes, but it has to be happening and it has to be moving. If we take pleasure in those things, or if we reserve in our minds something that we still enjoy, that we know is wrong, and we allow it to be there, and continue to just kind of be there and hound us and dog us, that's what it's saying. You start to have a pleasure in this unrighteousness. If that is there, that is at odds with the truth in your heart there is what it says. So what will happen is if you harbor that and you keep on with that, that the deception will come, and those who did not truly love the truth but had pleasure in righteousness and kept hanging on to it will be deceived and be swept away. Now, if this is how you proof against deception. This is not complicated. This is not a complicated process. Doing God's commandments and what he intends will proof you against deception. When it comes, you will know. Why do you know that? Because it goes fully back to what I said in the beginning. If you want to know Christ, you do his commandments, and over time you will get to understand and know him, what he's like, what he thinks. So when the wrong thing comes, you'll say, that's not Christ. I don't know that. I can truly say, Lord, Lord, I know you, and you don't look like that. Those who, as they don't do the commandments as they go, will not recognize it. They'll be so muddled that when that comes, they'll say, oh, you know what, this kind of looks almost like Christ, and wow, this is just so empowering or something, and it will take them away. So the story is being written now, day to day, what you choose in doing the commandments. Therefore, it's very important to understand that this is a life and death matter for us to really to get into the Word and the Scripture and to really understand what Christ is about, what Christ's mind is about, and to really to start to put that and to practice that and put it into our lives on a day-to-day basis, because the time is coming when the deception will be there. And continuing on in verse 13 in 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, we are bound to give thanks to God, always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. Now notice how many times that he talks about God's Word in this Scripture. And I noticed the song we sang right before I came up at the end said, you know, those who have a love of God's Word. Right, so the song even fits in with this as well. But there is the word mentioned many times here, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. It says, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called by your own gospel. So there's a couple of mentions of the word there. For the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word, in person, or by epistle, which is what they wrote, which is the Bible that we have right now. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God the Father, who has loved us and given us an everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you by every good word and work. So the word is woven throughout all of these scriptures. And just start to look at that and start to notice that and how it works. And there's some dimensions I don't have time to get into today. That about faith. These scriptures also mention that reading the Word is how we have faith. If you're struggling with faith, your faith, and you're struggling and up and down and left and right and having a hard time praying and things like that, start studying the Word of God. Start putting that into your heart, and you'll see that your faith is strengthened by knowing His Word. So there's a lot of dimensions to understand it, and that's why we are going to embark on and have a focused education on God's Word, many different topics, and really to learn and to figure that out. So it's very important. The proofs us against deception. These words lead to salvation because of the belief that comes from them. And it's a life and death matter that we have. And it helps us to have that faith. And it also helps us to really to have what's called godly love, not just on a human level, but what God really says godly love is, to really to understand that. So one assignment that you have today, I gave the elders an assignment, might as well give one to everyone else. Take a look at Psalm 119 and read through that. today. Because David expresses how he loves God's word so many times. Look how many times he mentions the word, you know, the word, his testaments, his precepts. And that David had a deep love for God's word. Read that, and there's so much in that psalm, Psalm 119 today. So with that, what we're going to do, I'd like to ask the ushers if they'd hand out a survey. I have a survey form I'd like the ushers to start passing out to everyone. I'm not sure if we have enough. If we don't, we may have to go to one per household or something like that. But if all the adults, all the young adults, the teens can take one of these, what it is it's just a basic survey trying to get some input, trying to get a pulse of what's happening in the congregation. But the idea is that in a planning of this, like I said, some of the topics we will pick. But we'd also like to understand and to know what are some of the things that are on your mind. What are some of the topics that you're very interested in hearing? What are the types of topics are you interested in hearing about? You know, we'd like to get more into prophecy. You know, from September 11th, there's a lot of things that we can discuss about prophecy, and there's a lot of things to uncover and to show there. Christian living, you know, men's roles, women's roles, music, sex, pornography, things that are in our society today, servant leadership. There's a lot of different topics that are out there. And if you take a look at this survey, what I'd like you to do is just to quickly fill this out during church day, basically maybe during the announcements right after the song or something like that. I mean, do pay attention to the announcements, but you can also fill out the survey as well. But just to get an idea of what are some of the types of things that we're interested in hearing. Now, think a little bit about this. Maybe give a, you know, offer up a prayer to God and ask Him, you know, what are the things that you want me to hear in my life? Or what are the things that are the topics that would help me the most in my life? And then write some of those down. This is completely anonymous. Please do not put your name on it, right? Just fill it out. It'll be completely anonymous. We'll collect them. I'll put them in this envelope. I won't, you know, see who stuck theirs in last so I can pull it out and, you know, read what was written there, anything like that. Completely anonymous. On the back of this, we'll have, there's some space there as well to think about some of the hard issues or hard questions that you may be dealing with. Right? What are the core things in your life that you may be struggling with that you would like answers on or help on or from the Bible to get these you know, to get help with these things? List some of those hard things, things you're struggling with, you know, questions maybe you have about, you know, what about all of the churches that you see around us? And how do you describe all these different churches? Or, you know, what about things like the place of safety? Or, you know, are there just sticky issues that you think of? Or, you know, what about Christmas and other things? You know, is it okay to kind of halfway do these things? What are issues that are life issues for you that you may be struggling with? These are the type of things that we'd like to understand. Because the Bible does have the answers for them, and this is what we will get into. And again, to get into really understand and to focus, and we will all study, and we'll all take a look at these things, and to really dig deep. So it's very important to understand. So what I'd like to encourage you to do is to fill this out now during the announcements. And what we'll do is you can either pass them at the end of church to one of the ushers that you see, or to myself. Just come up and I'll just place them right inside of this envelope right here, and we'll just collect them. And then what we'll do is we'll go over those and just see and kind of understand, you know, some of the topics that you're interested in. So this process and your input into this process is very important. And what we'll do is we'll lay out kind of an agenda, some topics and things, and this may be more than just services, maybe Bible studies, maybe some lecture series. You know, maybe the proper format is not, you know, a sermon, but maybe it's a topic on self-esteem or something like that that, you know, I know is, you know, maybe people have a trouble with. And, you know, I've struggled with self-esteem my entire life. And I know there's answers that are, you know, inside the Bible for that. And maybe there's to be some workshops that are set up and we can go through some of those things maybe in a different venue. So that's what this is intended to do. You know, tell us what are the type of things that are very interesting to you and what you'd like to hear about. What we'll do is we'll collect those, and then we'll formulate a plan for the coming year. Thanks.